You know, summer is a great time to gather around the campfire or start up the grill, and it's also a great time to brush up on your fire safety skills so you can enjoy those activities without being worried about it. Larry Mueller here talking about fire prevention and safety today with our next guest on the show, Jason Connect. He is a fire inspector with Eau Claire Fire and Rescue and can answer all your questions about fire safety in the home. And I hope you'll join in. Let us know how you're preventing fires. What's your escape plan in case something goes wrong? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email to talk@wpr.org. Jason Connect, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for allowing me to come in and talk a little bit. It's a great opportunity.
Well, you're a fire inspector. What are your responsibilities as a fire inspector?
Yeah, that's correct. So I actually have two roles in the Eau Claire Fire Department. First one is code enforcement. We have about 6,400 routine fire inspections in the city of Eau Claire. So what I do is I assign those inspections to the individual fire trucks and ambulances to do them. And then if they have any issues or recurring problems or that kind of thing, then they forward that information to me and the other fire inspector, my partner, Shua Bauer, and we'll follow up on those. We are actually busy. The two inspectors here are busy doing, like, plan review of new construction, doing testing on sprinkler systems and testing on fire alarm systems, going to schools with public education, schools and nursing homes and that sort of thing, public events. And then our other role is if there would be a fire, then we also investigate that fire for the cause, so hopefully we can prevent that. We're both certified fire inspectors or fire investigators, so we investigate all fires within the city of Eau Claire.
How'd you get started in this field?
Actually, I personally got started as an explorer, division of the Boy Scouts, back in 1990 in the Altoona Fire Department, which is a small town right next door to Eau Claire. And then I, when I got old enough, I joined the fire department in at the same time, and then went through training and been involved ever since.
Oh, that's pretty cool. David in northern Wisconsin already has a question for you, so let's go there. David, hi. Thank you for calling from northern Wisconsin. David, are you there?
Oh, hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I just recently installed a wood stove as a backup to the gas-fired stove that I have in case you needed it. But I'm wondering about using it 24/7 throughout the wintertime. How safe is that, using a wood stove for your heating?
Okay, how safe is a wood stove?
It actually is very safe as long as it's installed correctly and the proper maintenance is done. First of all, it's got to be installed with the proper clearances away from the walls and other combustibles like furniture and other stuff in the house. But then also the vent pipe, the chimney, that has to be a properly installed pipe. It's got to be a double-walled pipe. And as long as that entire system is installed correctly, it's a wonderful thing. I love wood stoves myself. I grew up with some wood stove heat. It's great heat. And then you have to take care of the maintenance as well. You got to clean the chimney every now and again, every couple of years, to make sure that that the pipe all the way out is clear, not obstructed. You also have to make sure you use dry wood, dry fuels. If you use something other than wood, some people like to burn their garbage in their fireplace or their wood stove, which you should never do, because all of that residue goes up inside the chimney and it collects and it creates creosote. Well, the creosote eventually will build up so much that it clogs the pipe and then you get chimney fires. So as long as you burn dry wood and wood only and do the proper maintenance, it's a wonderful thing.
All right, David, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. I know that smoke detectors are something you wanted to talk about today, and maybe talk about why they're so important, especially when it comes to fire-related deaths.
Absolutely. Smoke detectors, you know, they've been around for many, 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 many years, and that's really your only warning of a fire inside your home. They take a little tender, loving care. We always say change your batteries when we change our clocks, which is twice a year. But the biggest thing is to have working smoke detectors in the home. There's been several fires where there's been deaths because there's been no early warning. There's been no warning whatsoever. And by the time you realize that there's a fire, it's almost too late to get out. So have working smoke detectors in the home. They should be placed at least on every floor, one on every floor, and then somewhere in the hallway or near the sleeping quarters, near the sleeping areas, and then inside each bedroom. So, for example, if there would be a fire in the basement, hopefully that basement one would go off, so you could hear that. But by the time the smoke gets upstairs, maybe that would activate the one on the first floor, so you'd have two going off. Anytime you have anybody sleeping in the home, you have to have working smoke detectors. But don't put them in the kitchen or near the kitchen or near the bathroom, because in the kitchen, sometimes if you're cooking like I do, sometimes I burn things, not on purpose, but sometimes the smoke, if you burn a pizza or something in the oven, sometimes that'll activate the smoke detector. And if it keeps going off, it's almost like a boy cried wolf kind of situation where it keeps going off, you're going to get less sensitive to it. So, and eventually you might say, oh, this darn thing, and take it down. So stay out of the kitchen, and then avoid the bathroom as well. Because sometimes if people take hot showers, we've went on false alarms where the steam from a hot shower will set the smoke detector off as well.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, make sure you have them if you have batteries in them. A lot of detectors nowadays, you can buy them with a 10-year battery, so you don't have to worry about changing out batteries, but they still should be tested. What I do at home with my boys, I got two young boys. I got a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. Sometimes when daddy's cooking, we'll have a fire drill if the smoke detectors go off, and we'll practice having a fire drill at home, you know. You should always have an escape plan at home, too, and we can talk about that here in a second. But I can't stress enough where smoke detectors will save lives. It will give you that early warning so that you have the minute or two to get out. With today's furniture and the way we build buildings with wide open spaces and synthetic building materials and furniture, all of that stuff produces really nasty, thick smoke and really bad chemicals when they burn. And they burn faster and hotter nowadays than they did 20, 30 years ago. So just a couple breaths of that smoke is really, really bad. In fact, that's probably going to kill you if you take a couple breaths of that smoke. So the earlier the warning, the better. And we do that with working smoke detectors.
How common are home fires these days?
They're becoming fewer and farther between. We don't have as many, but when they do, they seem to be bigger. Simply because of a big contributing factor is no early warning, like no working smoke detectors, and then the synthetic materials that we're using nowadays with polyurethane foam and that kind of stuff. You know, like grandma's couch, that was all cotton. Now, today, it's rare to find real cotton in your furniture. So when that burns, that gives off chemicals, and it burns faster. So a lot of times, you can't get out. People are becoming more aware. You know, there's state laws in new construction that require smoke detectors. Or most insurance companies, when they buy or sell a home, they require working smoke detectors. So it's getting better, and the actual average fires are going down. The occurrence of fires are going down. But when they do, it seems to be really bad. Like back when I started in 1990, man, we were going on all kinds of fires. So they don't happen as often anymore, which is great, but they still happen. And when they do, some people get caught in them, and that's what we want to avoid.
You know, when I, it's about 12 years ago now, when I purchased a house, I did a complete remodel, kind of from start to finish on the inside, and it's a three-story. So we put a sprinkler system in. And I was like, oh, that's kind of expensive. But then I checked with my insurance agent, he said, oh, that was a good idea. Your home insurance just went down in cost. What do you think about sprinkler systems, especially in a home like that?
They are wonderful. In fact, I wish we had a residential sprinkler system law in Wisconsin. It's been tried several times, but it gets shot down. They are the best. It's like having a firefighter living with you. I mean, by the time you realize there's a fire, the sprinkler system is already activated. And, you know, a couple things that it's kind of my pet peeve, where Hollywood, you see on TV or you see in movies that if somebody pulls a fire alarm, the sprinkler system goes off. Well, we know that's not how it works. Or if one head goes off, they all go off. And that's not how it works either. Each system is designed to only operate about with 10% of the sprinkler heads activated at any given time. Only the heads that are closest to the fire will activate. Insurance companies are really realizing now, and it's taken a long time to educate insurance companies, that they used to jack up your rates if you had a sprinkler system. Like, oh my gosh, all that water damage, if a pipe sprung a leak, oh, that's going to fill the house full of water. Well, that's actually cheaper. I mean, the chances of that are rare. I mean, yes, it could happen, and it has, but the chances of that are very rare. And then the water damage is way less than fire damage, because it's not only the fire damage, but it's also the smoke damage that creates a problem. So I know several people that have sprinkler systems in their homes. In fact, my former fire chief and former assistant chief have them in their homes. And you do get breaks with the insurance company. What that sprinkler system does, it keeps that fire from spreading, keeps it from getting bigger. So say you get a fire in a wastebasket for whatever reason, it'll keep it in that wastebasket, or at least in that room. If it doesn't contain it, it'll certainly put it out for sure. That's why we have laws like that in commercial buildings, but I would love to see them in residential occupancies as well.
Steve in Oshkosh will give you a chance to join in. Steve, thanks for calling.
I live in a fairly large apartment complex, and every time somebody burns their toast or pizza in the oven, the fire alarm goes off, and then everybody has to evacuate, and then the fire department has to come and they search every unit you search all over the building to try to find out which unit it came from. I'm wondering if there's a better way. Is it possible for a smoke alarm to let the department know which unit the fire is in?
There's not really technology that would notify us, like it's in apartment number 2 or something like that, a very specific location of the building. Once we get to the building, sometimes, depending on the fire alarm system that they have, it will notify us. Like, the detector in apartment 2 went off, so then we go there and check it out. If they don't have that type of system, then whoever burned their toast should stand outside and wait for the fire department to show up and say, yeah, I did it, I'm sorry, it's not a real fire. But if the fire department shows up and nobody tells them or says something, or if the fire alarm doesn't articulate which apartment it is, then we have to go around and search for whatever the problem is. That would be nice. If you could invent that technology, you'd probably live on your own island somewhere. That'd be great.
Oh, Steve, thank you for calling. Our guest today, Jason Connect, a fire inspector with Eau Claire Fire and Rescue, as we talk with him about fire and your home. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News. Thanks for joining in today as we talk about fire and fire prevention with our guest, Jason Kinect, fire inspector with Eau Claire Fire and Rescue. And again, you can join us 800-642-1234. I wanted to talk about extinguishers for just a minute. How well do they work? And should you think about keeping one in your home? And I bet a lot of people have them in their home and couldn't put their hands on them in a short period of time because they're probably stowed away somewhere.
Yep. Unfortunately, they get if they do have them, they get put away. Or sometimes what's really common is they put them, I'm going to keep this handy, they think, and put it on top of the fridge. Well, then pretty soon other stuff gets on there, like boxes of cereal and, you know, whatever, and then it gets pushed to the back, or they put it under the sink. The best place, first of all, you should have an extinguisher, and they work really well. The main thing is to get out, to get everybody out safe, and then if it's safe to do so, then maybe you can try putting the fire out if it's very small. Use an extinguisher. And when you use an extinguisher, always keep the way out to your back. Never put the fire between you and your way out if you're going to use an extinguisher. And if it's anything bigger than a small pot in the stove or a small wastebasket, I wouldn't even worry about it. I wouldn't even try it. But extinguishers work very well. Keep them in a handy place where they're out of the way, so you're not going to bump into it or knock it off the wall or whatever, but then in a place where it's still readily available, not under the sink or not on top of the fridge. Mounted on the wall in the corner somewhere, or on the side of the cabinet, or, you know, somewhere where it's readily available but not going to get jammed up with stuff around it so you can't get at it when you need it.
I had in my home, I had the air vents going out, and I had this sort of louvered system on the outside. And what I found was when I was getting the house painted, the house painter said, you got birds coming in and out of this one vent. And he took out about 3 feet of lint, even though I clean the trap all the time. So what I did was I installed a wire thing over the top that lets the air out, but also keeps the birds out. And that improved. And I was just thinking about as a way to prevent a fire in the home, making that dryer vent clean is probably one good thing.
Absolutely. That is a very common problem and a common cause of house fires. A lot of people, they don't clean their lint traps after each load. If they do, they don't think about the pipe from the dryer to the outside. That pipe, that vent pipe, should be cleaned at least once a year. And you can do that with the wire mesh like that to keep stuff or birds or animals and stuff to come inside. But then also you can buy kits at hardware stores and stuff with you can use a drill to use a brush to clean it out, or you can hire a company to come and clean it out. But those pipes should be cleaned at least once a year as well, because every little nook and cranny or every dent or every little corner where it bends, that's a place for lint to collect. And eventually, it'll collect up so much that the dryer can't vent off that heat, and we'll start a fire that way as well.
Oh, okay. Tom in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, I've been, I've owned homes for many years. I got an extinguisher on every floor. I've got my alarm systems and all that stuff. But I was watching a video a few months ago. I believe it was an older video of Senator Elizabeth Warren at a hearing, and she was talking about toaster fires from back in the 60s before toasters had mandatory timers and they had to eject the toast. Do you or your guests have any concerns about our current atmosphere of deregulation and getting rid of consumer protections?
That is very true. Back in the 60s, there was a major swell in fires caused by toasters and other kitchen appliances. That's why nowadays we have like UL-listed and tested appliances where they test those timers and test the off switches, you know, like automatic coffee pots. That was another appliance. Toasters were an appliance that would, as long as it was held down, it was always going to be on. There's also rules and regulations that created those timers. Nowadays, with manufacturers that make those appliances, I don't think they're going to take a step backwards if there ever was any sort of deregulation. I don't think that they could afford the liability if they did. Now it's just a standard thing that that they have those fail-safes in there. Every now and again, once in a long while, they'll fail, but it's rare. It's very rare that those fail-safes fail. So I don't think that's really an issue now. If there would be deregulation today, maybe, you know, in 10, 15 years, you might see something. But I don't really foresee that happening. I certainly hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Karen in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question regarding fire extinguishers. You see videos online about this fire blanket. Are those effective and worthwhile?
The problem with fire blankets is that it has to be a perfect application. So you have to get close, number one. So you're actually taking time to find the blanket and then unpackage it and then throw it on the fire. And the idea of the blanket is that it smothers the fire, takes the air out of it, starves it of air. To do that, you have to have a perfect application and cover the entire fire. So if you're good at it and practice it, you can probably do that. However, it's probably easier to grab an extinguisher and blast it at the fire instead of using a blanket. But in some applications, a blanket would certainly work. But like I said, it's got to cover the entire fire. Otherwise, it's not going to do any good.
Mm-hmm. And in terms, you talked about practicing fires, you know, if something happens. If you have a fire in your home, you know, everybody gets out, but there should be a place to meet, shouldn't there?
Absolutely. What we teach kids in school, and we teach everybody, is anybody that'll listen, is when the smoke detectors go off or there is an incident in the home, go outside and then stay outside, you know, no matter what. And then have a safe meeting place that's away from the building, you know, the driveway, the mailbox, a big tree in the yard, you know, swing set, you know, whatever. Pick something that everybody knows where it is, and then no matter how they get out, everybody meets there. The first thing we're going to do is ask, is everybody out of the house? If not, then that is our main priority, is to go get that missing person. We had an incident many years ago now where a child... elementary school child was just taught to, if you can't go out in the hallway, if there's smoke in the hallway, to go out the window. So he went out the window, and dad was sleeping on the couch in the living room, and he went out the front door. So son is in the backyard, dad is in the front yard. They both said, where's dad or where's son? And then they went to the other side of the house. So son went to the front, dad went to the back, didn't see him. The son knew enough to stay outside because he was just told to stay outside no matter what. But dad went in to look for his son, and he ended up perishing in the fire. So if they had a safe meeting place, that wouldn't have happened, hopefully. So as long as everybody has a safe meeting place, and then you can do a head count of who's here and who's not and figure that out real quick.
Wow. We've scratched the surface here, Jason. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I hope we can get you back, because there's other things to talk about for sure. I was thinking about barbecuing and cooking safety tips, but we'll save it for another time. In the meantime, thank you so much, and I look forward to another visit. Appreciate it, Jason.
Absolutely. I would love to come back anytime, and thanks for the opportunity today.
Jason Kinect, fire inspector with Eau Claire Fire and Rescue. Sounds like they've got a good person there in Eau Claire, for sure. And we'll get him back and do it again. Thank you for listening today. This and all our shows are a team effort. Our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producers, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, but hey, please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.